B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. Well, you're on the clock. This is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Three receivers near side left for Brady. Direct snap. Brady back to throw. Looks. Fires over the middle. Intercepted. That's going to do it. At the 41-yard line, the first turnover of the game, Marlon Jackson intercepted, and that's going to be all she wrote. And the Indianapolis Colts will go to the Super Bowl, and the Patriots season will end.
All right, welcome in. It's Zolak and Bertrand on this Tuesday morning. And much like the quarterback situation for the Patriots right now, it is not pretty. It's Tim McConan, joined by Paul Perillo via Zoom. Paul, what's going on?
What's up, Tim?
Hey, did you pick up on that highlight we just played coming into this to this show? Do you remember that?
I did. I remember it well. I remember being there and being as stunned after a loss as I've been for a while. So that was 21-3 halftime, or 21-6, something like that at the half. And everything exploded in the second half, and the Patriots ultimately fell short, Tim. And I think I know where you're going with this, because they didn't have enough weapons.
They did not have enough weapons in 2006 AFC Championship game. You're right. And at that point, we thought that the wide receiving core was tough to watch, and that the quarterback situation, there weren't enough weapons. Little did we know in 2020 that 2006 team would look explosive by what we have today. But I play that because of something Mike Reese actually tweeted out this morning from his Cleaning Out the Patriots notebook that, I'll be honest, got me a little hot and bothered this morning, and I want to get your thoughts on this. He tweets out, if there's a silver lining for the Patriots in their 22-12 loss to the Dolphins on Sunday, it might be this. Bill Belichick's disgust is in assessing the damage could produce Vengeance Bill 07 when it comes to how he builds the team in 2021. That ties into my view that Sunday's loss wasn't about scheme as much as personnel. The shortcomings at tight end, receiver, quarterback, and the front seven on defense stood out. It was just fundamental football, particularly on run defense. He continues, after the 2006 offense was hamstrung by significant limitations with its skill players, Belichick went on a personal rampage the following offseason and acquired difference makers Randy Moss, Wes Welker, and Dante Stallworth. If there's one thing I love, Paul, it's sexy offseasons. I love it when they go all in on weapons. So I'm wondering, do you think this is setting up to be a huge offseason for the Patriots with all the cap space they have? Could you see an 07-like type offseason coming here for New England?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it'll be to that extent, but certainly they're going to be very active in free agency. They have a lot of holes to fill. I don't know if you can fill them all at once. I don't know if it's really wise to try to fill them all at once, but I'd be stunned if they didn't use a significant amount of that cap space to try to, you know, bolster the wide receiver situation, bolster the tight end situation, get some, you know, guys that might be able to put some pressure on the pass or some front seven help on that defense. You know, it's funny, Tim, because I think you're like-minded with me. You know, a lot of times you hear, you know, Patriots fans like, well, that's not how you do it. You don't do it through free agency. You don't spend a lot of money. That's what the loser teams do. And my counter to that is always, yeah, but the loser teams don't have Bill Belichick doing it. And when Bill Belichick did it in 2007, the result was, you were this close to 19-0. So when Bill Belichick decided to load up and do it through free agency, it almost turned in the greatest single season in NFL history. You know, yeah, they were one fluke play away from going 19-0. So I like my chances if Bill Belichick decides to get really aggressive on the open market.
So I'm with you too, because even the moves that haven't necessarily worked, because you go back to that 2007 offseason, and obviously we all remember, like Mike tweeted out, like Welker comes in, Stallworth, Randy Moss, but also, you know, Adelius Thomas on the defensive side of things comes in, and obviously that didn't work out, but still
but he was very good in 07.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. He didn't work out for attitude reasons after that, but in 07, He was a really good player.
And then I go back to the 2014 offseason when you bring in Revis, and even the one where he goes out and makes the big trade to bring in Brandon Cooks. And obviously Cooks wasn't the receiver we thought he was, but he was still productive. And yeah, generally these big moves tend to work out. And obviously you're not in a situation like you were in 2006 where you're in the AFC Championship game and a few moves away from being a contender. But I think big picture, the question is, have you bottomed out this year? Like, is this the bottom, or are you going to continue to get worse and continue to rebuild? And I look at it, and with the cap space coming up and the lack of quarterback play that you've gotten this year, which we'll get into a little bit later on, I really do feel like that Miami loss, that was rock bottom for this team, and they're going to continue now to kind of build this thing up and get better.
Yeah, I am a little bit on the negative side on that one, because I think there's still a lot of veteran players that played an important role in what they did this year that have a very good chance to not be around either next year or certainly not in 2 years. And, you know, you look at they have a pretty long list of free agents right now.
Yeah, they do.
Their own free agents, and they're important guys. You know, you just look at Joe Tooney, David Andrews, Lawrence Guy, Adam Butler, Rex Burkhead, James White. All of those guys were pretty significant parts of the team this year. And that doesn't get into like a Devin McCourty, Stephon Gilmore, Julian Edelman, guys that are still under contract that may or may not be here next year or certainly beyond next year. So I think there's a chance that you're going to be turning this roster over to a lot of younger players. And there might be some growing pains with that. But in the long run, I think that's what they need to do, is maybe take a step back in order to get where you want to go.
So I go back to really the last time I feel like there was a rebuild with the Patriots was, and I use that loosely, was kind of after the 2009 season, right? And it felt like they kind of hit the rebuild button there in terms of getting rid of some of those veteran guys, that the Adalius Thomases and guys like that. So, you know, do you think that this offseason is going to be a situation where we see some of those veterans kind of walk out the door, and now all of a sudden next year it's really going to be handed over to the young guys, whether that's Chase Winovich or Josh Uche, et cetera?
And it could be, you know, a gradual process. It might not be ripping the Band-Aid off all at once, but I do think that that process will start, because I really think this was more of a reset kind of year. I know Bill used that terminology, and I would agree with it. They had to sort of get their finances in order. And the rebuild, to me, really starts this offseason. But you look back, and you're right about the 09. You know, in coming off of 07, they still had, you know, obviously a great team. And the 08 team, I think, would have been really, really good, too, had Brady not gone down. But they started to sort of fill in, because they started to get a little old on defense. Some of the guys, you know, the Brewskis, the Vrabels, they had started losing some of those pieces off of that defense. Seymour, you know, started to get a little disgruntled. So they had to overhaul it, and they did it with some veterans, and many of them didn't work out. That was the situation with the 09 team, and people remember Sean Springs. You know, that's when Adalius Thomas had his problems with his attitude as well. You know, some of those guys, Brandon McGowan was a guy who played safety, who, you know, just wasn't a really good fit in terms of his mentality, his attitude. And then the result of that was, what, you know, you look at some of those drafts, it was, you know, from 08, 9, 10, 11, it was Gerard Mayo, Devin McCourty, Jamie Collins, Dante Hightower, Chandler Jones. I mean, hit after hit after hit of guys that were really important the next time they were ready to win to win it all. They had some really good, teams in that era. They went to a Super Bowl in 11, and they just continued to overhaul it. And obviously you had the Gronk and Hernandez additions, and that, you know, set the stage for what they did, you know, if you want to call it the second part of the dynasty in 14, 16 and 18. So I do think that something like that is going to need to happen, Tim. And it's not easy. You know, you look at those drafts, and really a lot of those players turned out to be really significant pieces to their success. Going forward, they're going to have to do the same thing.
Yeah, so I think the big question, too, is how well did you do in these past couple drafts? And I still think there are some question marks when it comes to those players, because you're right. A huge part of that rebuild, like we said, you hit the reset button in 2009, and that's great. But let's not forget that 2010 draft, right? You bring in McCourty, who was, you know, an unbelievable corner before you even moved him to safety that rookie year. And then, like you said, you have an all-world tight end in Gronk, and then also Hernandez those first few years too. So
right. It's not easy.
Yeah, it's not easy to just kind of pencil in drafting three Pro Bowlers, you know, in one draft, like you said. But I will say this, you know, I look at the roster, and certainly there are some question marks in terms of what you're going to do with some of these free agents. There are some pieces, though, in terms of even offensively, where if you go out and you bring in a number one receiver, and now all of a sudden Jacoby Myers is, let's say, your number three and not a guy that you're relying on to be your top receiver this year, that's not terrible. I think you hit on Damian Harris, and if you have a quarterback that doesn't look like he's throwing a medicine ball every week, I think there are some pieces there on offense that now all of a sudden – maybe you're 9-7 and 10-6 versus where you are right now at, you know, 6-8, kind of staring at, you know, a best case scenario here, a .500 season.
Yeah, and that is a big part. I'm glad you brought that up, because I know a lot of people have been defenders of Cam Newton and talking about the lack of weapons. And I'm not trying to tell you that this is a great group of weapons. It's not. You know, there's a lot of young guys, a lot of unproven commodities. But I think that some of these guys, their development has been just as stunted by the lack of consistency at the quarterback position as it has been the other way around.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not telling you that N'Keal Harry was a great pick. I mean, obviously we've seen the production of what, 7 or 8, I think out of the next 10 receivers, the top 10 receivers, Harry's been the least productive.
It's honestly Campbell. Anybody else that got drafted other than N'Keal Harry is a stud.
So I'm not trying to tell you, oh, you know, I work for Patriots.com and I see this is the great draft pick and it's all the, no, he hasn't worked out. But I do think part of that has been as a result of the quarterback play. He hasn't really allowed Jacoby Myers, N'Keal Harry, Damir Byrd to really maximize their potential as well.
All right, 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. It's Tim McComb, Paul Perillo in for Zolak and Bertrand on this Tuesday, talking about the potential offseason coming up here for the Patriots, because obviously this season is coming to a quick end right now for the Pats. But also want to get into what they're going to do with the quarterback position moving forward. Could we see it in the draft, or are they going to go out and get someone that's already established in the NFL? So want to get your thoughts on that, Paul, coming up in just a bit on the other side. Again, it is Tim McCone and Paul Perillo in for Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Mike.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back here, Zolak and Bertrand on this Tuesday morning. It's Tim McCone and Paul Perillo in for the guys. And Paul, I tweeted out a really lame joke before we went on, and I said, me and Paul are going to share our top 50 favorite punts by Jake Bailey during his Pro Bowl season. What's your list? 617-779-0985. Not a great joke. Fully admit that. @Tim_McCone is where you can find me on Twitter, by the way. Shameless plug there. But someone tweeted at me and said, how about the list of top 5 Cam Newton touchdown passes this year? There's only been five, so we're going to do this a little later
on. That's a better joke than your Jake Bailey.
Yes, it is. Can you actually name the top five Cam Newton and really the only five Cam Newton touchdown passes from this year? I was doing it with Morgan before the show. I didn't even come close, so we'll check in with you a little later on and see if you can do it. But it's not
off the top of my head. Can I give you a couple?
Yeah, go for it.
He had five. Okay, there was a great play action fake and a little like jump pass to Jakob Johnson.
That's
in Seattle.
So that's the one I couldn't get. This is pathetic, by the way.
That's
they were just
one.
Naming the five pass touchdowns.
There was
passes.
One that may or may not have been intended for N'Keal Harry in the front line of the end zone against the Chargers that may have supposed to have been going to Dalton.
Threw at 1,000 miles an hour. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Great catch. Great catch by N'Keal Harry. That's two. Yeah. I think that's all I got.
You only got three more to think of, so I'll give you some time during the show, and we'll circle back to that.
We'll circle back.
As well. But more glaring is that there's only been five touchdown passes by the starting quarterback this year. So in terms of priorities coming into next year, where is Cam Newton on that list for you? Do you think they have to move on from him, or do you think there's a scenario whatsoever that they actually continue to roll out Cam next year?
Yeah, I think you have to move on, Tim. Yeah. I think it was certainly a worthwhile experiment. I think we were all in favor of it. I certainly was. There was some excitement around it that didn't really exist at that point in the offseason. And I think most people felt if Cam Newton is healthy, then you know he's going to give you a chance to be competitive. I thought he'd be worth a couple of wins. Turns out, I was wrong, and a lot of other people were too. He hasn't picked things up. I think there's a lot of reasons. I think his late start was one of them. I think the situation with, the lack of a preseason and all that went into, COVID and whatnot, I think all of those things contributed. And the lack of really, top flight weapons around him certainly didn't help. But I will say they ran the ball pretty well and had a pretty good offensive line, and he couldn't really do much with those things. And, there's a lot of teams around the league that I think like to run the ball. And they're able to make some plays down the field in the passing game.
Yeah.
The Patriots just couldn't do that all year. And I think that you have to look at Cam Newton for that and in his lack of accuracy and consistency. And to me, I've seen enough. I don't want to run that one back.
So I'm with you. And certainly I know that there have been some questions in terms of the season that Bill Belichick has had, coaching this year. Overall, though, I think big picture, when you look at the NFL, I think one of the strengths of Belichick and Josh McDaniels is that they put these guys in positions to be successful. The Patriots are not one of those teams that, we do what we do, and that's kind of how we run things. It's not like they asked Cam Newton to do what Tom Brady did when he was the quarterback.
No.
They put Cam Newton in an offense to kind of show off his strengths and kind of build it around what he does best. And to your point, I don't think there's enough there anymore where you can roll him out next year and expect things to be different, because I just don't think you're getting NFL caliber quarterback play despite the lack of weapons right now from the Patriots.
Yeah, and you know what else, Tim? A lot of people will point to the touchdown runs, and I even think that he hasn't really been all that dynamic as a runner.
No, you're right.
I think if you look back, his best game by far to me was the very first one. Against Miami when he had, 15 carries for 75 yards. Other than that, I think that he's really been rather pedestrian as a runner as well. I think he's really good in short yardage because obviously he's so big and he's able to pick up quarterback sneaks. I think that's where the vast majority of his touchdown runs came from. There haven't been a lot of, like Lamar Jackson, 35-yard touchdown runs where he electrifies, the sideline with what he's doing. He looks to me like a guy with a lot of wear and tear. And I think physically he just doesn't look like he's the same guy that we remember from Carolina, and I think it's both with his shoulder and his throwing and with his foot in terms of his ability to run away from people, make people miss. Right now, I think he's been pretty much relegated to a guy who can pick up short yardage by moving the pile. And once in a while, he'll tuck it and keep it for a gain of four. I just don't think he's been all that dynamic as a runner either.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Going to get to your calls in just a second here. Quickly, Paul, and we'll get into kind of more details a little bit later on, but are you someone that wants to draft a quarterback here and start to build around that, or do you want to go out and kind of get that stopgap guy and try to win some games next year with a veteran.
Yeah, I do want to draft a guy, but I'm not necessarily sure which one. And, you know, I haven't, you know, sort of gotten myself all wrapped up in the draft process yet, so I'm not exactly sure where all of these guys are projected to go. I mean, I know obviously Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields are at the top of the list, but, you know, a guy like, you know, the kid from BYU, Zach Wilson, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't know a whole lot about him heading into the season. Got a chance to see him play a lot of different times because BYU was one of the few teams that was able to play a lot of games, and I was really impressed. So I don't, does that mean that he is a top 10 pick, a top 5 pick, and the Patriots won't be able to get him? Or is he a guy that could be available in the middle of the first round? I'm intrigued by him. So I would like, you know, in a perfect world, I'd like to draft someone that I can identify as being worth trying to develop, as well as maybe finding a veteran that can sort of bridge the gap a little bit and buy me some time.
Finding a veteran that could actually throw touchdown passes too would also be high on my list as well. So yeah. maybe they can pick one of those up for next year. 617-779-0985. Let's talk to Tim in Saugus. Tim, what's going on?
Hey guys, just a quick Cam question. Obviously the preseason was a little whack this year, so would you guys be open to seeing him with like a full preseason and maybe draft a guy and then kind of work it out, maybe run it back one more time? Just wondering. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Tim.
Not me. I'll let you give your thoughts, Tim.
Yeah, so for me, I'm with you, Paul, because it's not a situation, again, where I think you're looking at a guy that just needs to learn the system. Again, I think that they've kind of built this offense in a way that highlights what he does well. I just think physically, he can't do those things anymore. And it's just, it looks really painful for Cam when he's actually throwing the football this year. And to me, I just don't think there's anything that I've seen from him that makes me think, you know, some time in the playbook is what's going to change things. I just think physically at this point, he's kind of cashed.
I agree.
617-779-0985. Let's go to Tim in Salem. Tim, what's up?
Hey, I have a question about Cam. So do you think he should maybe like play? What was I going to say? Shit. Nope. Anyway, I think Cam is broken now.
I agree with Tim.
Yeah.
the caller, Tim.
Yes.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
No, I think that pretty much sums it up in terms of the way that this season has gone. Pretty much when it comes to the Cam Newton questions that we're going to continue to get in terms of, is there anything more that you need to see? I really don't need to see any more again from Cam. I think that we've seen everything there is. When it comes to what's next, I think one of the really interesting things is, are the Patriots considering trading up in the draft? I want to get to that because Jeff Howe had a really interesting article last week that I want to get into in terms of what it's going to cost you. Even if with the, if you have the 15th pick, which was where the Pats are slated right now, if you want to get into that top 10 and not even one or two, if you want to just get into the top 10, it's going to cost you a lot. And to your point earlier in the show, Paul, it's not like it's just quarterback in terms of what you need to fill out. So how much draft capital are you willing to give up to go up and get a guy when you also are going to have a number of holes elsewhere on the roster?
Yeah, I mean, it is a difficult back and forth. And I personally think that they have a lot of draft capital. And it's not just this year. I think they typically have a lot of draft capital. I think they're always working, you know, the compensatory picks and whatnot. But to me, it's a difficult one because I need to know the player I'm targeting.
Yeah.
So let's just call the quarterback the guy that Bill decides is the guy. You know, a lot of people have this handicap. There's six potential first round quarterbacks. Well, there's no way Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels like all six of those guys. So, you know, is it Zach Wilson? Is it Trey Lance? Is it Kyle Trask? I don't know. I have no idea. But let's just say the one that they really like and want to work with is available at 9, 10. I think you can get there. And I would be willing to do that, you know, even if it's maybe a little bit more of an expensive trade than I would like. I feel like that's the piece that sets everything in motion. You know, if you have a quarterback and you don't know exactly who he is and you're trying to put pieces around him, now you're sort of trying to get your quarterback to work with what you have as opposed to getting a quarterback and surrounding him with the kinds of pieces that you think he needs to be successful. So I do think that's a tough one because a lot of people look at it and say, well, you need so many things, just take whatever there. Like, I would agree with that. Don't don't reach for a quarterback that you're not in love with. But if there's a Jimmy Garoppolo that Bill obviously thought a lot of heading into that draft, I think you need to really strongly consider making a move and being aggressive and trying to get him.
Since 2012, 14 teams have traded up in the draft to get a first-round quarterback. Most of them have not exactly gone well for those teams that have gone up. So it's not just giving up that capital, but it's also making sure that you have the right guy too. So I want to get into that on the other side after Hub Headlines from one of the best in the business.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is how the pros.
That's great. Thank you, Bill. You're proud of yourself.
Do Sports Talk Radio.
Your microphone is down. Hey, Marconi.
Just hit the button.
Turn the mic up.
I'm just,
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm dreaming tonight of a place I love even more than I usually do. And although I know it's a long road back.
This is Hardy's favorite artist. Darius Rucker, I love it.
I promise you.
Paul, are you a Hootie and the Blowfish fan?
Sure, why not? Who doesn't like Hootie?
Hardy. It's unbelievable. I don't get it. I don't know how you don't like Hootie and the Blowfish, but yeah, Hardy, not a fan. There's just not
Hardy's
a lot
not
of
a fan of a lot of music.
Yeah, there's not a lot of depth to Hardy. You know what I mean? He's one of those guys that just doesn't get
it. I think it's sometimes the opposite. Yeah. Hardy is very deep when it comes to music, and that's why he doesn't like most of the things that most people like. Yes.
Agreed.
He's too deep for it. That's what Hardy's problem is.
He's a snob with most things.
He is.
T-Bone, it takes, I don't know if you know, if he's ever given you the spiel, but you have to have
many times, most days.
Angst, right? It's angst. You can't have good art without angst. So, like for me, I like a lot of dance music. You know, in the day growing up, you know, I'm not ashamed to admit it. I was a big disco fan.
Ooh, I like it.
He can't understand that.
Yeah,
like Earth, Wind, and Fire to me is like the greatest band of all time.
I like that.
He can't understand that. Like, there's no strife. There's no angst. I get in these arguments with him all the time. He yells at me.
Yeah, that's about right.
He likes to finger wag me.
617-779-0985. I don't know how you don't like Hootie. It's bizarre to me. Talking the Patriots quarterback situation right now, though, and potentially trading up in the draft if you want to go and get that guy. And I thought Jeff Howe came out with a great article late last week in terms of what it would take and what's kind of gone on the last 8 years in terms of trading up in the draft. And so far there have been, 14 trades since 2012. To trade up in the first round and select a quarterback. And I went and I kind of handpicked, Paul, the trades that are going to be most similar to what the Patriots are looking at in terms of they're at 15 right now. And if they want to trade up to into that top 10 and not necessarily one or two, because I'm not sure that that's realistic. But if you want to get into that, you know, 7 to 10 range, what it would look like in terms of what you'd have to give up. And there's two trades that really stick out. It's 2018. When the Bucks traded number 7 to the Bills for number 12 and 2 second-round picks. The Bills wound up taking Josh Allen, so obviously that worked out for him. So essentially you're trading your first-round pick in 2 seconds to move up into the top 10 to get your quarterback. The other one was the Cardinals in 2018. They had the 15th pick, which is where the Patriots right now would be picking in the first round if the season came to an end. They traded 15, 1 third-round pick, and 1 fifth-round pick to move up to number 10 to take Josh Rosen. Obviously, Rosen did not work out for the Cardinals, and that's kind of been a theme when it comes to these 14 trades too, Paul. Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, those are the four hits out of those 14 trades. Other than that, it's either been complete flameouts like a Johnny Manziel or guys that you're looking at with Carson Wentz, who certainly is not having the year that anyone expected, or Jared Goff, who, you know, the Rams can use, but I don't think that's a guy that you want to necessarily build around. So
that was a little quick. I was trying to scribble it down as you were doing it. So you're saying you got from 12 to 7?
Yep.
By giving up two second-round picks?
2 seconds, and you went from 15 to 10 by giving up your first-round pick, a third, and a fifth. So yeah, you're not
so
talking
I don't
about
think that's that. So you're talking about a third and a fifth. Like, forget, obviously you're switching spots.
Yep.
So I a lot of people like to say you're trading a one, a two, and a three. Like, well, no, you're trading spots in the round. And what do you need to do to get from 15 to seven? Well, I need to give up, you know, a three and a five or two twos. I think that's reasonable for the Patriots if they wanted to get, you know, somewhere between, say, 7 and 12 from 15 to give up like a second round pick, maybe a third round pick, you know, a couple of those. I again, this is all contingent on identifying a guy that you really believe is the guy. Like, you're right, it could be Josh Rosen, and then you pick that guy and he doesn't work. And now, you know, you're sort of screwed because you gave up some draft capital and didn't get anything back for it. But if you end up doing it for Josh Allen, or, I mean, obviously Mahomes and Watson would be...
That would be nice, yeah.
Know, those are legendary trades. But, you know, if you end up getting the quarterback that you want and that you like for the next 10 years, I think it's more than worth it.
So I'm with you, Paul. Looking at those two trades, you're not giving up a ton to move up. And if you
I don't think that's that expensive.
I'm with you. It's really not. Now, if you're going up and you're trying to pull off, like, the RG3 trade where, I mean, you're trading three first-round picks, and that's a completely
different
story, right? But if you've identified a guy that's going to be there at 7 to 10, I'm with you. I look at those trades, and if I'm giving up a third and a fifth or even two twos to go out and get the guy that I think is going to be my quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years, I absolutely make that trade. And just looking at that list, that kind of made it a lot more realistic in my mind that they could actually go out and get that guy through the draft than what I initially thought it was going to take. Because I thought you would be looking at giving up multiple first-round picks, and that's not something I think that, you know, the Patriots would be willing to do. But it looks like you don't necessarily have to do that if you're moving up to that 7 to 10 range.
Yeah, and I want to thank Jeff Howe for doing all the work.
Yeah, I appreciate that too, absolutely.
Because, you know, I get popsicle headaches when I start to look up things like that. But, yeah, I mean, I think it is strongly in consideration this time around. And I know a lot of people will point and they'll say, well, Bill trades up just as often as he trades down. But generally his trades up happening in the middle rounds,
yeah.
You know. And one of the few exceptions to that was 2012 when he traded up twice in the first round to get Hightower and Chandler Jones. And obviously both of those worked out well. But usually when he trades up, he's trading from, you know, say the third round, low in the third round to high to get, you know, Devin Asiasi or someone, you know, those are his trades up. This would be a little bit more significant if he's wanting, you know, if he's looking to get, let's just call it 15. I think that's where they sit right now. If you want to get from 15 to 8, you know, you're giving up something in order to do it. And you're obviously identifying an individual player that you feel is worth doing. So I'm excited. The draft to me is one of those things that everybody gets really excited about. That's the kind of stuff that excites me. Like, well, they're going to trade up. That means they really like this guy. They're targeting a specific guy. And that's the stuff that I think as a Patriots fan gets you a little excited.
Well, and I'll say this too. Generally, when they go out and they trade up four guys in the first round, at least like in 2012, they hit on both of those guys, Chandler Jones and Dont'a Hightower, obviously. And look, I have to believe at this point too, if they've identified a quarterback that they think that they can win with and they go out and trade up for him, yeah, I still have enough faith in the talent evaluation, at least from the quarterback. And I know that's ridiculous because Cam Newton hasn't exactly worked out this year, but I think that they're going to be able to put that guy in a position to be successful because, again, it hasn't looked great with Cam, but I think the flexibility that the Patriots have had and kind of changing this offense to kind of form around what Cam Newton brings to the table gives me faith that whoever they bring in next, they're going to put them in a position to be as successful as they can potentially be.
Yeah, and that's, to me, the part that should be exciting. And, yeah, I mean, no one's going to get them all right, but I like the idea of having a guy that Bill feels good about that he wants to try to develop. You know, and if Josh McDaniels, and you know, I'll be anxious to talk a little bit with Bert Breer in the next hour you know, maybe about Josh McDaniels and his future, because I assume that he's going to be part of this, both with the quarterback and coaching him, you know, identifying the quarterback and then coaching him up. That's the part of it to me that I think the Patriots are good at, is putting these guys in positions to succeed. And that's why I'm no longer interested in trying to run it back with Cam Newton. I've watched them try to do this all year long, and it looks the same. And the plays to me are there to be made at times.
Yeah.
And Cam Newton just can't make them.
No.
And I have a lot of faith in the game plan element. You mentioned that earlier in the show, Tim, about how the Patriots don't just do what they do. And you're absolutely right. They want to change it from week to week, and they want to try to exploit what the defense is giving them. And unfortunately, the Patriots haven't been able to exploit that often enough.
You mentioned we're going to talk to Burt Breer in the next hour, so we'll get his thoughts on Josh McDaniels, what the future is there too. But also reports out this morning, I'm not sure if you saw it, Paul, but Patriots quarterbacks coach Jed Fish interviewing for the Arizona job. Could potentially be going back to college too. So it might not just be Josh McDaniels that's leaving on the offensive side of the ball this year if he were to move on too. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on.
And based on the way the players have talked this year, and, you know, it's funny because we don't get a chance to see as much as we normally would in a regular year, but the players have really spoken about him in very complimentary terms. So I think if it works out that Jed Fish does go back to college, I think that would be a loss, even though he's only been here a short time.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Tim McCone, Paul Perillo, and for Zolak and Bertrand, going to step aside here, come back one more segment, and then at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Burt Breer.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Comes to sports, they're knowledgeable.
Tell me about a pie that doesn't have a top over it.
And always on their game.
I walk around my house naked all the time.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is this your type of speed? Is this your speed, Paul, right here, this song?
Yeah, I'm not overly familiar with the song, but T-Bone told me it was the OJs. Absolutely. Just listen to it. How do you not feel good? Come on.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. I could get in on this. This is pretty good.
Good stuff.
I like it.
That's good stuff.
All right, it's Tim McCone and Paul Perillo here with you, taking you up until the top of the hour. That's when we'll be joined by Burt Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback. Get his thoughts on kind of the offseason ahead for the New England Patriots. Quickly, Paul, wanted to just touch on Stephon Gilmore here, because there's a chance he's played his last game here as a Patriot. Looks like he avoided a major injury in that Dolphins game, but shut down for the rest of the season here, and obviously with the contract, with that 1 year left at $7.5 million, there's a chance here that he might not be back with the Pats. What are your thoughts on Gilmore here, and do you think we have seen him play his final game as a Patriot?
Yeah, I think we have. I think he'll probably go, and the injury could complicate that a little bit, because I think you're going to need to find somebody that wants him, and I think that'd be okay, but now I wonder what the Patriots would be willing to accept in return for him. And if he's, you know, coming off surgery, as he will be, you know, maybe a team that might want to give up, say, a second round pick now says, well, I'll give you a 4 or something like that. I'm just spitballing off the top of my head. You know, that's the kind of thing that can happen that can hurt it. And that's why I was very dubious in the immediate aftermath of the game. And I mentioned this yesterday with Arcand as well. Immediately after the game, NFL Network's Ian Rappaport has a tweet that says, oh, it's not as serious as you thought. It's not okay, he didn't tear his ACL, but it's a significant injury.
Yeah.
He has a partially torn quad that requires surgery, and he's out for the year. I think there was some work being done, whether it be the agent, trying to make it look a little bit less severe because he wants to make sure he keeps all the options open for his client, something along those lines. I just thought that was a little too convenient to have that report come out so quickly. Nothing to worry about here. Not a serious injury. Not as bad as it looked on the field. Well, maybe it's not a torn ACL, but it's significant, and it could impact his marketability going forward.
No, you're right. Because you know what I went back to as soon as he went down to was the Earl Thomas injury when he was there with the Seahawks. And it's a guy that had been, waiting to get that next big payday, and then he goes down with a big injury, and you wonder how much that's going to affect his market. So to your point, obviously, from an agent's perspective, you want to downplay how serious that injury is. As a whole, if he were to move on, if the Patriots were to move on from Stephon Gilmore, do you think J.C. Jackson, who, by the way, is a restricted free agent himself, so you're going to have to pay him, do you think he's, and obviously a ton of interceptions this year, but do you think he's ready to be that number one corner for the Patriots?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I like J.C. Jackson, but I don't love him as much as some other people do. And certainly the numbers are, 8 interceptions. That's a great number. But I wonder about maybe, his consistency a little bit. I think there have been times where he's a little bit too ball hungry. I think he takes some chances at times. I saw that happen on Sunday on a play where he kind of got it caught in between whether or not to go for the interception or make the tackle. And he did neither. On a play near the sideline in the second half. I like J.C. Jackson. I like his physicality. I like the corners that aren't afraid to get physical. And you're going to get some penalties when you do that. So, yeah, I do think that he has the ability to sort of take that mantle as the number one corner. Now, how much is that going to cost?
Yeah.
And are the Patriots willing to do that for him? Do they feel the same way about him as they did about Gilmore when they signed him as a free agent? That will be interesting to see and that's probably a year away because you can get away with as an RFA that they'll probably give him the first round tender and keep him, for a reasonable, affordable number that tag is. And then you'll see what happens when he's an unrestricted free agent after the 2021 season.
So I'm a little more bullish on the Patriots having a big offseason here, kind of reloading. And I'm not saying becoming a contender, but certainly in the playoff hunt next year. But to the point that you made earlier in the show, Paul, I think this is a perfect example of, you look at this team and yeah, we know that there are major holes, but moving forward, there are going to be holes that were strengths for this year's team too. And I think Stephon Gilmore being that number one corner, if he walks, right, all of a sudden the secondary, which is clearly the strength of the defense and maybe this whole team other than Jake Bailey, becomes a potential weakness, right? Because if J.C. Jackson all of a sudden is your number one corner, I think there's a domino effect. Jason McCourty, you have questions about. To your point, Devin McCourty's getting older. All of a sudden, the strength of that defense, you've got major questions about moving forward.
Yeah, and I think the secondary has been a little inconsistent all year. I think Sunday, given what Miami had to work with, I thought Miami threw the ball really well Sunday.
Yeah,
they had nobody played.
That's one of the things people aren't really talking about a ton is the fact that there was nobody out there from the Dolphins that were legitimate receivers.
And they didn't, in terms of the passing game, they didn't have Devontae Parker, who was their number one.
Yep.
Preston Williams is their number two. Jakeem Grant is probably, I would say, their three or four. Miles Gaskin is their he's their James White. So, in terms of the passing game as a running back, he's out. And Mike Gesicki is by far and away their number one tight end. All of those guys didn't play. And yet a rookie quarterback shook off a terrible interception in the first, the first half and completed 20 of 26 throws. And about half of the six incompletions were drops. I don't think the secondary has been as consistent as we all thought it would be. Now, obviously, that's a much higher bar than we've had for, the wide receivers and other, so I'm not telling you the secondary has been a disappointment, like the lack of a tight end. No, it's not the same thing. They're very good. But I think we felt like that secondary will shut down every team in the passing game. You just have to worry about, it hasn't worked out that way. I think they've had some ups and downs as well. And I thought Sunday, even though it was a modest, I think Tua only threw for about 150 yards.
Yeah.
But I think every time they wanted to make a play in the passing game, they did.
No, it was not a pretty game overall for the Patriots on Sunday, that's for sure. All right, going to step aside, get Hub headlines here, come back on the other side. Burt Breer from the Monday Morning Quarterback will join us.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, back here, Zolak and Bertrand. It's Tim McComb, Paul Perillo in for the guys. We're joined now by Burt Breer. Burt is brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union. Times have been tough. Rockland Federal Credit Union can help with the products you need, a free on-demand credit monitoring tool, and the personal service you deserve. Visit rfcu.com today. Burt, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you guys doing? Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas.
You too, Bertrand.
So, Burt, we opened up the show with a note from Mike Reese this morning. He talked about the potential here for an 07-like offseason for the Patriots in terms of just the personnel clearly not being good enough for the Patriots and some overhaul changes coming. How do you think this offseason for the Patriots is going to go?
Well, I mean, Paul, you and I were around that 06 team, right? And that 06 team, there were definitely personnel issues there. The receiver position, no question. And they hadn't accounted for it at the time because they thought they'd have Deion Branch in that team, and it didn't work out that way. So that team had a very specific need for offensive weapons.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, back here, Zolak and Bertrand. It's Tim McComb, Paul Perillo in for the guys. We're joined now by Burt Breer. Burt is brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union. Times have been tough. Rockland Federal Credit Union can help with the products you need, a free on-demand credit monitoring tool, and the personal service you deserve. Visit rfcu.com today. Burt, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you guys doing? Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas.
You too, Bertrand.
So, Burt, we opened up the show with a note from Mike Reese this morning. He talked about the potential here for an 07-like offseason for the Patriots in terms of just the personnel clearly not being good enough for the Patriots and some overhaul changes coming. How do you think this offseason for the Patriots is going to go?
Well, I mean, Paul, you and I were around that 06 team, right? And that 06 team, there were definitely personnel issues there. The receiver position, no question. And they hadn't accounted for it at the time because they thought they'd have Deion Branch in that team, and it didn't work out that way. So that team had a very specific need for offensive weapons going into 07. But it's not like that was a deficient roster, like globally, right? Like that team was in the AFC Championship game And had it not been for the flu ripping through their locker room the week before that game, they may have wound up going to the Super Bowl. If they go to the Super Bowl, they beat the Bears and they're world champions. So that team was super close. I mean, I could see them being aggressive, but I don't think that the roster as constituted in 2020 right now is anywhere near as close as the 2006 roster was to getting to a championship. So I think the resources there from a cap standpoint are, you know, you can make the comparison and that they do need help, but to me, comparing the 2020 roster, what it was or what it is versus the 2006 roster and what it was, I that's not even close.
Yeah, Bert, I would agree with that strongly. And obviously the correlation would be the wide receiver position, but you look at the rest of the roster, and that's really where they went. It was Moss, Welker, Stallworth. It was they needed to upgrade one specific area.
Tom Brady, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the defense was getting a little older, and I think that's where Adalis Thomas came in. But you're absolutely right. They were much closer to being the best team in football than they are now. I would say the gap between them in the title was a lot smaller for that team than the gap between this team right now in the playoffs. And I think they could go in a number of different directions this offseason.
There's no question. I mean, Paul, if I'm in that personnel department, I'm on that coaching staff, you know, I think they've got to take a very honest, raw look at where they are. And just, I mean, like, I think people are under this impression that you can just drop a quarterback in because of what we saw at that position over the last 20 years. I think people are under this impression that you can just drop a quarterback in and it's going to fix everything because we're so used to seeing a quarterback being able to come in and make do with less at receiver, make do with injuries in the offensive line, make do with a deficient defense. We saw it for 20 years, what Brady was able to do. I don't know that people here understand how hard it is to find a quarterback who's capable of doing that, who literally is your margin for error, that allows you to make mistakes in the draft, that allows you to make mistakes in free agency and make it all right. It's hard to find a quarterback like that, you know? And maybe it'd be better if you drop a Matt Stafford in there, but do I think that that fixes everything? No, absolutely not. Like what Brady did here, what he was able to do, you know, with teams like the 11 team that didn't have a very good defense, but he got him to the Super Bowl. The 06 team we talked about that had offensive, you know, had serious, serious challenges from the standpoint of offensive personnel. What he's able to do with some of these teams was remarkable. And I think people here might be lulled into the idea that you can just drop a quarterback in there and he'll be able to do that. It's hard to find a quarterback capable of making up for so many holes.
So when it comes to the quarterback position, and we saw the Instagram post from Cam Newton yesterday, Bert, mm-hmm. Do you think there's a scenario at all that we could see Cam Newton back here as a starter next year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's just I think it's going to depend on what's out there for them, you know, and whether or not there's a clear upgrade, you know, and I think Cam would be of a mind to come back here. I think he's fit in well. I know the coaches clearly like him. I think he's handled himself well. He's been accountable for everything. I'm with everybody else. I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt earlier in the year. It doesn't look like it's working right now. He hasn't played a lot of football, before this year, over the year and a half prior. So, you know, you want to cut him a break there, but we haven't seen many glimpses that there's any, you know, that this is going to turn itself around. So, yeah, I think you have to go out and look for an upgrade. I think the question is going to be what's available to you. And if it's Jacoby Brissett, do you do that? I think it's easy to sit here and say, well, if it's Matt Stafford, well, we don't know if Matt Stafford is going to be available. It's easy to say if it's Jimmy Garoppolo, we don't know if Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be available. Right. So I think that that's all going to ride on what's available to the Patriots when we get to March and April.
Bert, I wanted to get your thoughts on that. You just sort of touched on it with the veterans, and we've heard all the names. And Brissett and Garoppolo, I mean, those are two guys that obviously have the connections mm-hmm. here, but outside of that, I want to ask you specifically about a couple of guys. And one is Stafford, you just brought up.
Yeah.
And the other one is Carson Wentz. And if you could talk about those two guys and maybe the possibilities that those two guys could be available and then taking it a step forward and see if maybe the Patriots might be interested.
Yeah. So I think I think both guys, you have to take into account that we don't know who is going to be making those decisions, right? Like, I don't think Doug Peterson's completely out of the woods there. I think Howie Roseman's probably okay. We don't know. I mean, I think it's very possible Philly forces him, Doug, to hire an offensive coordinator. So that could change the equation there. And in Detroit, obviously, we don't know anything about who's going to be the GM, who's going to be the head coach. And so I think it's hard to give anyone a solid answer on whether Stafford or Wentz will be available because we don't know who's going to be making those decisions. That said, you know, the Lions did kick the tires the last couple of years on quarterbacks. There was a feeling out there that they may have had, you know, had Daniel Jones been available to them with the 8th overall pick in 2019, they might have done that. They kicked the tires on Tua and Herbert this year. So, you know, they've been down that road and they've looked at the idea of it. You know, Philly, I think, Philly's got so much invested in Wentz, and the guys in that building have so much invested in Wentz. It was Doug Peterson's first draft pick. It was Howie's first draft pick after getting the power back there. Traded up twice to get him. They've now given him a big contract. I think the Eagles would be of a mind to try and run it back with him and try and see if they can salvage him. Now, if either of those guys became available, I think Stafford's almost ideal. He's got experience in your program, applicable experience in your program, and he's still fairly young. I think he's going to be 33 on opening day next year. And I think Matt Stafford could be for you what Alex Smith was for Andy Reid in Kansas City, where you can win with him for the time being, and he allows you flexibility on when you're going to go and get your young guy, so you can wait until there's somebody that you really love to go and get. And in the time being, you can still, you know, build a roster around a guy who's proven that he can win at the NFL level. So I look at Matt Stafford as almost like an ideal scenario for them. And Wentz is way more of a reclamation project. So I think if you are going to go out and get Carson Wentz, like from a contractual standpoint, if you can get him out of Philly, the contract actually makes a lot of sense. The issue with Wentz is, like, I think if you bring him in, you're probably going to have to cover yourself with some sort of veteran insurance policy just in case what we've seen over the last year and a half or so from him is real.
What does it take to get Stafford, you think, in a trade?
I think there would be competition for him, and that's usually what drives these things. You know, I say that about Darnold. Like, I think one of the reasons, like, Sam Darnold wouldn't wind up here, and I do think he's somebody the Patriots would at least have, like, a passing interest in, is because I do think that the Jets would have options. Like, I think the Jets are going to have multiple suitors for Sam Darnold if they decide to move on from him. Obviously, the equation changed there a little bit over the weekend. but yeah, like I think, you know, with Stafford, I think you are going to have some suitors in there. His contract is actually, it's not bad. If you look at what's left in cash, it's about $43 million over the next 2 years, which is a relative discount for a player at that position. So, I mean, I would tend to think like a two or maybe a two and a day three pick would probably get it done. And I think the fair comp, again, is to sort of look at what San Francisco got from Kansas City for Alex Smith in 2013. And I believe, if you look back at it, I believe that was something like 2 second round picks.
Is there any chance, Bert, and I can't believe I'm going to ask this, but is there any chance that Stidham might potentially be the guy? It seems like this was the first time that Belichick didn't completely close the door on actually seeing Stidham play here over the last these next couple games.
Yeah, I got my defenses up on that one, guys. I was wrong about that in March and April and May, and I was telling everybody this story about how he was like a top recruit coming out of high school, and you know, he had kind of a tumultuous college career, and he was all over the place, and maybe there's something really there. And we have to go. I think after we Paul, I'm sure you heard some of the same stuff. There were encouraging signs there, and they really felt like he had a good camp in 2019. And there was promise for 2020. After we hear all of that, I think, you know, at this point you have to judge them based on their actions. And there are two things we can look at there. Number one, they wouldn't even give him a game jersey at the beginning of the year, right? Yeah. Like, he wasn't even active on game day at the beginning of the year. So that's strike one. And strike two is, like, based on the level of quarterbacking they're getting right now out of Cam, and, you know, I don't think it's quite as bad as some people have made it out to be, but it's not good. like they don't view Stidham as an upgrade over that. And if you're bringing Stidham in, you're also buying into the upside because he's young, you know, and you don't know what you have there. And so those two things to me, I think we have to judge the Patriots on their actions and not their words here. And their actions tell us that at least in 2020, the early signs were that they were all in on Stidham. And ever since they signed Cam Newton, every single sign we've gotten is that they don't really believe in him.
All right, it's Burt Breer joining Zolak and Bertrand, and it's Tim McComb, Paul Perillo in for the guys. Coming up after the break, want to get your thoughts, Burt, on the coaching staff and some potential changes here for the Patriots. That is on the other side next on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.